All right, it's Friday. You know what that means. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group, and made a promise to you that we were going to have our hopefully regular special guest on Friday, and we got him. He's been traveling all day. He's had a super long day, but he still made the time for us. Welcome in former Michigan team captain, defensive tackle, Mike Martin. Mike, so happy to have you on, man.
Hey, it's great to be here, man. Anything for you, brother, and anything for the big blue. So despite my jet lag and traveling, I will not miss this for anything.
Well, awesome. And I'm sure that it's been exciting to I know you've been watching from a little bit from afar because you had been traveling. I know you were all the way out in Europe. So didn't get to see Michigan, Middle Tennessee State, but you did get to see Michigan and Army. Just in general, because we haven't talked to you yet, when you look at that Michigan defense and what that defense was able to do, and we're going to get into our preview here in just a moment, but want to talk generally about Michigan here. When you saw what that defense was able to do against the triple option, some people kind of decried that they let up some yards here and there. Obviously, I was way more impressed than that. Don Brown talked about how it was a gem of a defensive performance. What did you see, and how difficult is it? Were you part of the Michigan team that got to play Air Force a couple years ago?
No, I didn't. And first, you know, I was watching that Army game, like you said, in the south of France. I had the Khabib fight on and the Michigan game on. So I had quite the setup to watch the game, which was awesome. But, you know, watching our team and our defensive play in particular against Army, you know, it's a running team, that triple option. It's a tough thing to play against, especially when you don't see it all the time. And you can't over defend any one part of that type of offense. Like Don said, it wasn't, you know, you can't overplay the triple. You got to play pitch, you got to play quarterback, you got to play the dive. And they throw G scheme in there, power. And, you know, running that three, that odd front, and having some speed on the edges is, again, something a little different that we're not used to doing. So overall, we were just kind of out of our regular groove. But at the end of the day, we kept them to just a tad over 3 yards a carry on 61 carries. And only, you know, they had one big run early on. But other than that, we kept them under 10 yards for all their runs. So I was happy about that. It was a tough play game, but they made two big stops at the end of the game, you know, with the strip sack and, you know, from the defensive line. So it was pretty good.
Yeah, like you said, the 3 yards a carry, they held Michigan held Army to its lowest point yard per carry total since 2015, which is super impressive. They did that. Some of those guys on the defensive line particularly stood in there. A guy like Carlo Kemp, who got chipped at least 20-something times, and yet he had the physical and mental fortitude to stay in there and hang in there and continue to work. What when you see a performance like that from a guy, especially who's in his first year of starting, what is, you know, team captain as well? You see that? How do you react to that, knowing that, like, how that guy is standing in the physical challenge of knowing you're getting cut constantly, but you're still able to stay in there and do your job?
Yeah, you know, if you're in the game, from a player's perspective, and I don't care if you're a freshman or a senior, you gotta perform, you gotta produce. That all goes out the window. We know, yes, you might have some mental and things that you might do because of your youth, but you've got to go in and step up and do your job. But it's really impressive, you know, watching from the outside in, you see a guy like that step up and continue to deliver. And then to be in that kind of environment, that's, you know, obviously the Big House is one of the most impressive places to be in the country to play a football game. So all around, it's an impressive thing.
I just want to go back to a comment I had just a minute ago. I said, did you get to play Air Force a couple years ago? I just, for anyone listening, I wasn't referring to the one in 2017. I know Mike Martin didn't play in 2017. I was thinking back to, couldn't remember if you were a 2011 or 2012 guy. And that
getting
that
old,
was,
man. Jeez.
Yeah. it flies before you much faster than you think. I still feel 22 for the most part, and I am unfortunately not at this point. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm really excited, and we'll spend the rest of this segment and the next one starting to kind of turn our focus back to the task at hand, which is this Wisconsin game. Now, I'm feeling not confident, but something like closely resembling confidence going into this game, because I think Michigan just has more talent than them in every position except for one, and that's obviously running back with Jonathan Taylor. But I feel pretty good about, you know, Michigan's defensive line. I know that their offensive line, Wisconsin's, is, you know, a big burly type team, you know, really, you know, sizable look. But at the same time, I like Michigan's speed. They've shown off some speed. We haven't gotten to really see what this Michigan defense can do, especially the line, because first game against Middle Tennessee, they were in 10 personnel the entire game. Obviously, the triple option's a different deal. But I've been saying all week, I really, really like this matchup. I like the matchups up front on both sides of the ball. I think Michigan's offensive line is going to do really well. They've obviously been, you know, a lot of people think that they might be the best offensive line in the Big Ten. You got John Runyon coming back, the defensive line, like I was just mentioning. They've got speed. You've got guys that are kind of tweeners in there. And I know that that is something of a scary proposition to some because, again, Wisconsin has some behemoth offensive linemen, but only one returning starter. And I don't know how to pronounce his last name, so I said on Jamie's show on the M Zone earlier, I called him Tyler Badass. So I'm just going to go with that. But what kind of challenge do you see in the line play, both sides? You've played against Wisconsin before. You know, kind of generally speaking, what they bring. What kind of challenge is that for this for both of these units?
So, you know, playing in Madison, especially against Wisconsin, it's one of my favorite places to play. I would say, from my fun perspective, it's number one them, and then number two Penn State. When you're there, you have fun because the crowd is into it. So, but Wisconsin, this team, we look at them usually as a ground, you know, pounded team, great on the ground, but they're good in the air. And you know, the thing I'll say is, they really, you know, Jonathan Taylor, he hasn't been tested. I mean, he has, you know, the success that he's had have been against teams that, you know, you're talking teams that aren't that great of teams all around. But
right, South Florida and Central Michigan aren't exactly world beaters.
Yeah, and then, you know, playing against Michigan, he actually has never scored a touchdown playing against University of Michigan. And, you know, so, but again, he's dynamic. He's good on the ground. He's good in the air too, with three receiving touchdowns. But they're dynamic. They're good in the air. They're good on the ground. They spread the ball around. They've got six players on the team that have gotten, you know, at least five to nine touches catching the ball. And, you know, for us, you know, Michigan, the thing that they got to be good at is just taking care of the football and minimizing mistakes. And Army, it compounded. Problems compounded. You talk about playing behind the sticks because you've got penalties. You're talking about drop balls. You're talking about missed reads. You're talking about fumbles that were lost. I mean, these things compound, and you're playing against a team that is not a pushover team. Army runs their offense very tightly and seamlessly, and that doesn't make a lot of mistakes. So when you're looking at Wisconsin now, we can't do that. Mm-hmm. And then the edge that we do have is in special teams. I mean, they've missed field goals, but Moody has been on lock for us. So this game, I really see it coming down to it. And if it comes down to a kick, I mean, I'm taking us all day because we haven't missed one, and we're going to keep on kicking them to the upright. So it's going to be a good game.
All right, we're going to keep talking on the other side here about this Michigan-Wisconsin game. Another full segment with Mike Martin. But first, if your company wants to reach an upscale male audience, then your company's ad should be running right here on this podcast. Get your company connected with this audience. Email me at IHOLE at USATODAY.com. to get more details about increasing your business. All right, we are back, and Mike, I agree with you as far going back to what you were saying about Michigan compounding mistakes. I've been saying all week, I really feel like even though we've seen it in two games, it's kind of anomalous. You really can't plan for, you know, the fumbles that they've had. Obviously, the pass protection kind of aided two of those, the pass protection breaking down. But I really think that with what Michigan's doing this week, they'll have that kind of worked out. And like I said, I just think that top to bottom, Michigan's more talented. I think talent in a game like this wins out as long as there aren't a ton of mistakes. And I'm just looking at Michigan's offense, and I'm saying that we've seen pieces. I know you didn't get to see the Middle Tennessee game, but you saw a lot of the speed and space elements really on full display. It just wasn't quite fully clicking yet. It was a little bit different in the Army game because, you know, they'd start driving the field, they turn the ball over. So with what limited you've seen Michigan's offense, what do you want to see to really make you feel like, all right, they've really got a shot in this one?
I want them to be able to move the ball down the field, get in the groove, get in the rhythm offensively. I want Shea to have comfort in the pocket and not have to feel like, you know, in his mind, he's gotten hit. He's dealing with the oblique. Having John back, running Junior, I think will help him mentally and will firm us up on that side of the line. And then, you know, we'll see with Donovan, you know, Peoples-Jones. He's the most dynamic, you know, player that we have on offense. He can play everywhere. I mean, just having him in the game forces defenses to defend against him. And, you know, you run him on jet sweeps or, you know, even if he doesn't touch the ball, he's demanding a defender to cover him. So if we can just get in a groove, you know, convert, and we've been really good on third downs. Shea's been good on the money down, which has been exciting. That's been a point of us that we've been strong. So, but again, it's the 8.5 penalties per game that we're averaging. So that has to be eliminated. And then on defense, you know, Don Brown just keeping it rolling with what they've been doing and controlling the run game. I think we'll have a shot.
You know what? I think so too. And like you mentioned Wisconsin's passing game, I looked at, you know, obviously Jack Cohn passing for 400 yards against Central. It's alarming because you don't normally see that from a Wisconsin team. But at the same time, he hasn't faced the type of defense that he's about to face. Now, granted, we don't know for sure what this defense is going to look like because it's the first time that they're going to be able to play in base all season long. Just knowing that, like, as a former player, say that you had to play two games completely outside of your comfort zone, completely different style, how much of a relief, no matter how difficult the next opponent is, to know that you're going to be going back into the thing that you've been practicing all spring, you know, during 7-on-7 during the off season, and then back in fall camp, how much of a relief is that to kind of be like, all right, this is what we know, and how much easier does it possibly make it, despite the skill level of the opponent, to be able to be back in your base defense?
Yeah, so you just nailed it right in the head. I mean, not only from a player perspective, do you have comfort in being able to play, you know, play what you're used to playing, but as a defensive play caller, Coach Brown, he gets to call what he knows. It's his bread and butter. We're getting back to our bread and butter. But as a team, you know, we've gone up against a team that, you know, that tested us. And mentally as a player, when you go through that, you see what kind of team you have and how you respond. At the end of the day, what I saw from our team is that they responded and we got the W at the end of the day. It wasn't the way we wanted to get it, but hey, we got it. Now, Wisconsin, on the other hand, you know, they've been rolling. They haven't given up a point in almost, 12 quarters of football. They've just been putting up Madden-type, video game-type stats and all phases of the game. And, you know, they've played who they've played. Now, like you said, they're going to be tested this week. They're going into this game not being tested yet. We have been tested. And I think that's going to end up being in our favor because we haven't been in a position where we're not used to that. So we've been under fire. And I think that being on the road It won't shake us as much because we'd already had a taste of blood in our mouth and have seen what kind of team we have. So they'll just have to rise up.
You mentioned the road thing, and it's been a long time. It even predates you that Michigan has not been a super solid road team. And we've seen it even last year, some slow starts here and there, including at Northwestern. What is it about going on the road that kind of makes that a difficult challenge? Obviously, Camp Randall is a daunting place to play, although in my travels, I have found it less daunting than a lot of the other places I've been. Penn State, like you mentioned, obviously Ohio State, Kinnick at night was pretty terrifying. I'm not going to lie about that. But what contributes to make it being such a difficult factor to go and play at a place like that? And, you know, why is it sometimes hard to get a quick start there?
You're out of your comfort zone. And when it's all about sudden change, and when you're on the road, those chances to be in situations that you don't want to be in are just elevated even more. So the chance of that happening is even better because you've got, you know, the crowd situation, you've got noise. You're not in your normal routine of just being at home and just feeling, the way you want to really feel when you do start the game. And maybe it takes a half a quarter or a quarter to get in your groove and kind of shake that off. So that's just the essence of being away. But then, like you said, I mean, we have struggled. You know, we lost the past 14 of 15, or 14 straight we've lost against top 15 teams. And, you know, we've struggled on the road and things of that nature. But I bet you Coach Harbaugh is telling these guys that. He's not shying away from that. I mean, let's change this. This is on you. And I talked to several of the guys. I'm close to a lot of guys on the team. And I've talked to them and said to each of them that you guys got to decide what you guys want as a team. Does not matter what Coach Harbaugh wants, what the fans want, what we want here talking on the radio. It's those men in that locker room, and they've got to decide going on that trip, what are you guys going to put on tape and what are you going to put as a product on that field? So that's going to be what we got to wait and see, the anticipation.
All right, I got one question for you, and then I'm gonna ask for your prediction, and then after in the third segment I'll give my full one here. But okay. One of the things, and I alluded to early, was because this is one of the things that I'm curious about: Michigan's defensive line being a little bit smaller than you might normally be accustomed to seeing, going up against that offensive line. What are the challenges that they face? Since you have, you know, obviously you aren't undersized, but you would know kind of what that challenge might be.
So, I mean, we're more speed oriented now. I mean, you talk about just Uche, the type of player that he is. He's can play defensive end. He can drop in space when needed. He's got speed. He's got strength. I think that's kind of how we're built generally across the board as a defense. And when you are that way, you have to disrupt. You have to disrupt, and you have to get teams in, behind the sticks. And instead of playing, second and six, second and seven, you got to have them playing second and eight, nine, ten. And then you limit what offensive coordinators can call, and then you're able to blitz and really, dial up your package on the defensive side of the ball and vice versa. So, I really am excited to see how they come out. And despite the injuries that we've had, guys got to step up, and it is what it is, and we've got to decide what they want the outcome of this game to be.
All right. Well, that's I'm looking forward to it, and I think speed will really play a big, big difference. And I'm curious to see how that plays out. I don't think that there's necessarily going to be just this mauling up front. I think it might go the other way personally. That's just my feel for it. All right. So how do you see the game playing out, Mike? Prediction time.
All right. So again, it might come down to special teams, but at the end of the day, we have found ways to score. And if we haven't, they've been taken away because of mistakes. So I think we're going to find a way to get in the end zone. The defense is going to bow up and make some big stops at the end of the game. I see this coming down at the end of it. No overtime, 21-17, Big Blue.
All right. Well, my prediction is coming up. Everyone already knows because I've been saying it all week. I'm still picking Michigan, but you'll hear how I think the game's going to go. My keys to the game, as well as my final prediction. But first, remember, make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event, whether it be this one in Madison or many of these games coming up, or if you want to go see Tool at Little Caesars Arena on my birthday, buy me a ticket. That's cool. Just enter promo code KICKOFF at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. And thanks a lot, Mike, and really, really glad to have you on. Can't wait to have you on again next week.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it, man.
All right, final prediction time. Let's get into it. Let's go right to my over-unders. Let's get that going. I'm not doing the music because, yeah, I'm just not doing the music. But, all right, pick against the spread. Like I said in the end of the last segment there, I'm picking Michigan, obviously, so I'm not going to pick Wisconsin, who's -3.5. I'm going Michigan there. Your pick for the over-under overall, 42.5. I'm going under. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game for both teams overall. In a weird way, hope to be wrong. Hope it's more energetic, at least from the Michigan side of things. Over under Michigan rushing yards, 233. I went with the under. Even though they got 300 last year, I'm not seeing that yet with this group. Obviously it was different with Higdon and Evans. But we'll see what happens. I wouldn't be surprised. I just don't see it yet. Over-under Michigan passing yards, 220. I'm going with the over there. Over-under Wisconsin passing yards, 199. Despite Jack Cohen throwing for 383, I believe, yards last week, I'm going with the under. 199 is the number. I'm going under for Wisconsin. Same thing, over-under Wisconsin rushing yards, 234. Again, they very well could get there. I'm going to go with the under, though. I think that even if they win the game, I still think Michigan will contain them pretty well on both fronts. Over-under Michigan QB rushing attempts, 10. I went with the over. I think you're going to see a lot more pulls in this game than you saw last game. Over-under Michigan offensive snaps, 69. I went with the over. They've been averaging closer to 80, but Wisconsin controls time of possession, which, you know, this is why you get into the next thing. Over-under Michigan time of possession, 33-16. I went with the under. Wisconsin's number one team in time of possession currently in all of college football. Over-under Michigan yards per play, 5.81. I went with the under. Over-under Wisconsin's yards per play, 6.28. I also went with the under. Over-under Michigan field goal attempts, 3. I pushed that one. So I'm saying they're going to go for 3. Over-under Michigan punts, they've punted 6 times total in 2 games, but this one being against a much more difficult defense overall, I'm going to go with the over. So aside from that, I mean, you guys heard everything that I think. I really don't feel like I need to go even further. I just think we're going to see a better offense. I think by virtue of not turning the ball over, you're going to see a better offense in general. I think that they went into a shell because of the opponent they are playing and what was happening on their side of the ball. So I just think Michigan will look better in that sense. It'll be sharper. It'll be crisper. I'm not going to predict Shea Patterson to throw for 300 yards or 400 yards like I've been doing every other week. Would I be surprised if it happened? No, but I'm not going to bet on that. I think it's more likely that it will be a more humble 250 or so if the game goes well. Sounds like, based off of what John Jansen said, Zach Charbonnet, despite the rumor, will be playing. So that's good for Michigan. We're playing wait and see on Donovan Peoples-Jones, Michael Dwumfor. Everyone else sounds like is playing, just based off of things that were said throughout press conferences and such. I just think that talent wins out. Doesn't always happen that way. I'm not nearly as confident in this game as I was a couple weeks ago. If you told me Wisconsin won big or Wisconsin won close, I would not be surprised. This isn't This isn't me betting the farm here, but I'm going to put a narrow stake on saying that I think Michigan pulls out a narrow victory, a one-score victory. I think Michigan's defense is good enough. If the offense does not turn the ball over and give Wisconsin a short field, I think that Michigan's defense's goal is always to keep teams from scoring more than 17. I think Wisconsin gets 17, but I think Michigan gets 24. I know they didn't get that against Army until double overtime, but that, again, three turnovers is why. So there's some nuance there. My five bold predictions, as I put on in the Wolverine's Wire article, Michigan's offense utilizes high tempo with regularity. I know that's kind of antithetical to going up against a time of possession team, but I think keeping Wisconsin off balance is something that they're going to try to do. Michigan has zero turnovers. I think there's just obviously the added emphasis. I think Michigan scores one on special teams, though. I think you get one. I think you, I think maybe Giles Jackson brings one back, or if DPJ returns, which again, I don't know if he is or not, whether it be him or Ronnie Bell I don't know who they'll have back there if it's not DPJ, but I just think Michigan gets one. Jonathan Taylor still doesn't score against Michigan, but is in the triple digits, because he has not scored a touchdown yet, like we said earlier, and Jack Cohn throws two interceptions. I think he'll try really hard, and Michigan will put him in a bad spot. My player for the game for Michigan, regardless of a win or loss, will be Aiden Hutchinson. So there you go. Those are my predictions. All right, that's it. We'll talk to you when we get back from Madison. Excited to do it. So for the Locked On Wolverines podcast, I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole. Find me at Isaiah Hole. Follow the podcast at On Wolverines or Wolverines Wire at Wolverines Wire. Remember, if you'd like to be a featured sponsor on the show, email me at ihole@usatoday.com. You can follow us on iTunes, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, Himalaya, wherever you get your podcast, or online at wolverineswire.usatoday.com, where we post our daily podcast every single day to go along with the rest of your Michigan football coverage. This was Locked On Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day.